Like you guys are looking at the comeback player of the year.
I like that.
Wow. When it comes down to this game, it's going to be about stealing possessions. Mm. And it's all about these DBs. I just saw Joe Montana walk by.
So is it contract time for you or what's...
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
It is. I don't know.
That's why you're smiling.
When we die, when we leave this earth, people celebrate your life because of what you did to them, not because of what you did for yourself. And you're changing lives.
At the end of the day, everyone that's compared him to this guy and said he's not doing this guy and he's not doing this, they're at home right now watching him play in the Super Bowl.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Jason and OC podcast, but we're...
I like it, man. I like it.
MFA, don't forget about me. I do
the show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the FA, OC, and Jason podcast.
And you put him last.
I put him last because he said I should do the show.
Keep going. Run it.
Right now, we're in Radio Row. It's a circus. But we're going to be talking about the Super Bowl, upcoming Super Bowl. But we're going to catch up with me in my season, first of all. But just before that, we saw Michael Vick. And Jason, I just told him that Michael Vick's a legend. And then OC was like, well, he came up to the real legend.
Yeah. He knows exactly what it is.
He knew exactly.
We're having a conversation up here. And what did he do? He walked up the stage. He walked up. It's not like I had to go down again.
No, it isn't.
He walked up to come say, hey, what's up to the real legend.
You are the real legend. Do you know why you're the real legend?
Tell
because
us.
I went to the barbers, right? And I was like, oh, I'm going to Vegas and I need a haircut. I need a haircut that's going to last.
Mm.
And he's like, oh, do you want the Jason or the OC? I didn't have enough hair for the Jason. So I got the OC, as you can see. So I know you're definitely a legend.
The OG Caesar.
Okay. So that's how we're going to begin today.
I'm just saying. You know, they said that Travis Kelce invented the fade, but you definitely invented it.
I got the low boy, man. What's up, man? What up, J-Bell?
What's up, man? I really appreciate that when you're here, the love you get, in all honesty. F.A. made the statement about it, but it's real. You got some of the greatest quarterbacks that ever played the game that come over to you and shake your hand. I need to drop this little note to you.
Okay.
It's not because they're your friends. It's the fear in your people's heart. Bruh, of course they know you. Of course they know you.
Yeah.
You and FA attack quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Every quarterback is going to know y'all, which is cool. They're the stars of the team, but they're looking at you two guys coming off the edge.
Yeah.
Much respect. How does it feel?
So we just saw Michael Vick. I know me and FA were joking about that earlier, but interesting thing about Michael Vick. So we played the Falcons in 2006. Remember that game?
Yeah. I do. I remember it vividly.
Yeah, I saw him here in Vegas, like for a fight, like maybe the year after. And he comes up to me. He said, that was the hardest I've ever been hit in my life. Remember that sack?
The sack you stole from me?
He said, that was the hardest I've ever... He said, my back still hurts from that sack.
That could have been me.
Could have been you. But you wouldn't have hit him that hard.
No, I wouldn't.
You're a little pencil neck. You're a pencil neck.
And I'm going to be honest, though. I feel like if I would have came off the edge, because it was a blitz design for me to get there, because they were supposed to block the man himself, right? So I'm coming off the edge. But obviously, they just completely don't block OC.
Yeah.
He makes it. I think I would have missed the tackle.
You think so?
Yeah.
You would have given a little.
I think I would have missed the tackle.
He gave you one of those.
And he would have ruined me. So thank you. Nobody knows, man. Nobody knows what happened. And that's the beauty of it all. Yeah. How do you feel being back here, both of you guys? We've experienced this before. We've done it. Second year. We sat on this couch together all in our three-piece suit like this. How do you feel being back?
Well, for me, I'm excited. I'm seeing a lot of stars like Michael Vick as well. You know, I think the novelty of being around OC's worn off. I remember this carpet. I don't know what this carpet is. Do we have like a deal with this carpet company or something?
Carpet looks good, man. What's wrong with the carpet?
How you feeling though? How's your knee progressing? Your foot? What happened? Explain to people what happened there.
You're looking good, man.
Thank you. I'm trying to stay upbeat and trying to stay positive and look forward to the future because that's all we can.
Do you have a cast on there or like what is
no,
going
I've
on?
No, I've got a metal rod. I'm titanium. Remember when I came on the show and I was like, I'm Wolverine.
Yeah.
I actually spoke that into existence. So now I actually have titanium in my leg. But
so when you go to the airport, if you go.
I have to let them know.
So you got a rod.
Titanium rod all the way down my tip. And I've got a few screws at the top, a few screws at the bottom. It was a clean break, Tib and Fib, right down the middle. You know, Darren Payne.
Did you feel it immediately?
Immediately. I went down, and it was something I've never felt before. You know, this game, we're compensators. You know, we deal with a lot of injuries. None of us are ever 100%. You know, and I've dealt with strains and knocks and all these things, but this, I felt that, and my leg was facing that other way, and I tried to stand up, and I just didn't have that. You know, and I was looking back on it now, it's funny, but in that moment, I was just scared. It was fear. It was panic. There was a lot of adrenaline.
What was the fear like?
Honestly, the fear was
just about the injury,
just about the leg. I was just like, what? I just knew something was going on. I didn't know what it was. I've never felt this. I was like, my leg was facing this way. My body was facing this way. It was numb. I was in shock. It was, could I play again? You know, my family, what are they thinking? Are they okay? You know, would I ever walk again? What's happening? What's going on? I need to know. So then that was the fear. And then everybody rallied around me. I just covered my face. You know, Coach Rivera came. You can hear him in my ears just saying, you're going to be okay. You know, teammates coming like, oh, you know, you're a warrior, rallying me and stuff like that. So, and then they carted me off the field. I just, you know, gave a little wave to the fans. Everybody just cheered. And then it was just like I got on the ambulance and I made my way all the way to the hospital. The ambulance lady was like, do you need some drugs? I was like, no. She's like, what's your pain out of 10? I was like, 10. She's like, well, you're pretty cool for a 10. You know, but I was just thinking this in that moment. I was thinking, I'm done. I'm like, I'm done. I'm never going to play this game again.
You're done. Like, what does that mean?
Like, I'm done playing football. Once after this injury, I'm walking away from the sport. This is too much for me. I'm not going to do this again. And then slowly, you know, and I, honestly, it was speaking to you.
Yeah.
That got me into that mindset that, you know, this isn't the end for me. Mm. You know, you shared some stories from teammates that have gone through similar injuries and gone through and had lots of success. My injury, my recovery was good. There wasn't no compartmentalized syndrome where they had to like cut my leg open and all these other things. But now I'm in good form. I'm in good rehab. I've got great people looking after me. My mindset's obviously warrior, fighter, survivor. You know, all of that, overcome adversity, everything. So and I honestly, I've probably been through worse than this. This is the physical. This is nothing. And I will say on this chair, on this multicolored carpet, that you guys are probably looking at the comeback player of the year.
Woo! Say it again, I couldn't hear you.
I'm saying on this multicolored carpet that you guys are looking at the comeback player of the year.
I like that.
Wow.
I like that.
Comeback player of the year.
Yes. I like that.
F.A. Boumaye.
I like that. That's what you need to have, that kind of mindset, man. I mean, we see you walking, we see you moving. You have an upbeat attitude on everything. You know, life has come at you in all kind of different directions. You've always survived. So, I mean, you got it, bro. I like that you put that out there, though. That means a lot, man. That means a lot, man. Big game on our hands, fellas. I just saw Joe Montana walk by.
No way.
Like, cool Joe. Joe cool.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the kind of stuff you see around here. I want to know. It's early on, but it's a Super Bowl. I want to know your prediction right now.
My prediction, you know, I'm going to tell you a story.
Tell me a story.
I'm going to tell you a story. I pulled out a very, very special suit to wear for the game.
Okay.
Packed the suit, everything.
Yeah.
Put it in my suitcase. It was only when I landed in Atlanta, because I got to Atlanta first, and I was emptying out my suitcase, and I saw the suit. I remembered something.
Okay.
You're going to love this.
All right.
You remember that blue, shiny suit I wore?
Yes.
The blue one that you were like, oh,
Yes.
Do you remember the last time I wore that suit?
No.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
San Francisco 49ers Super Bowl.
No.
I swear to God, bro.
The double up.
And I was like, what are the odds of me pulling out this particular suit and it's the same two teams playing in the Super Bowl? So, who won that last game?
It would be a team in red. Are you leaning
so
that
you
direction?
Know, listen, I'm all about superstition.
Yeah.
I'm all about superstition.
Yeah.
It is a sign that I pulled out the suit from 4 years ago that I haven't worn since, haven't even looked at. I said, I'm going to do something fly. I'm going to pull that out. And I brought it. So if I want to change, What I won't do is I won't wear that suit on Sunday. If I want a different result. If I want a different result, I won't wear that
if
suit.
If you come in with a different suit on, I know what team you're rolling
exactly.
with.
Exactly. So I might have to switch. I might wear the suit I was supposed to wear on Sunday. I might wear that today.
Oh, man.
And then wear the suit I was going to wear today, wear that on Sunday, so we have a different result. I might do that.
It's all predicated on your suit.
Yeah.
Always the suit. Every single time. I got a question, man. Everybody, they're always talking about MVP in this game, like who's going to win or whatever. But y'all know football. I want to know an X factor from both y'all. Like somebody in this game.
Yep.
That's going to come through big time. I don't care who it is, what position, whatever. Just something.
Okay. I'm going to give you one. Kadarius Toney from the Kansas City Chiefs.
Do you think he's going to play?
That is mean.
If he plays, he's going to come up big.
Is this legit?
If he plays, he's going to come up big. Trust me. I've seen it.
Why do you say that?
Because, number one, he's had a problem there. For the past couple of weeks.
I can't believe you said that.
I'm serious. He's had a problem. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Something's not right.
Yeah, they said he was injured. He came out and said he wasn't injured,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah. That's
he did
the
a whole
problem.
Live stream. He was right. like, I'm not injured. Right. F this, F that. You know, he did the whole nine. Right. Did all of that. So for me, if Andy Reid chooses to put him in,
he's ready to go. And he's going to prove
he's
up.
He's got
to
know something.
I laughed at all of this, something. And you made a whole lot of sense in that.
He's got to know something. Why would he put him in?
Yeah.
Why?
Because for what reason at this point?
At this point. It's putting him in to do something.
All right.
But I got something I want to ask both of you.
Well, I want to hear what F.A. says. You can't leave my man out.
It is the F.A. O.C.
And Jason Parker.
Sure. You got it.
I like that answer. But I'm going to go with one that I think a lot of us feel like he's been performing a lot. It's maybe an easier one, but I think he's going to show up even bigger because I've seen it. I've seen the preparation. I've seen him from his rookie year.
Okay.
I've seen how he's come into this league, you know, and I've seen the professionalism he's carried himself. I've seen the work. And the more I hear about this guy and the more I learn about him, the more I'm in awe. Everything that has happened in his life has led him to this point, has led him to this moment. There's no tomorrow. There is nothing after this. He's going to perform lights out in this game.
He has the ball for them to make it.
Look at this guy.
Oh, look at this guy.
I see how it is. Right? Australians
don't
get invited to the Chris. Come on, man.
It's because I sacked you. That's why. Yeah. This guy's throwing a sack on you.
I got more important stuff to do.
Yeah, sure, buddy.
This is truly, truly a special, special moment and a special thing to witness. I'm so happy for you guys. I'm really, really excited. This is awesome. I don't want to cry. I'm not going to cry. I'm going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
It's all about
good
you.
To see you, Jordan.
Enjoy a radio bar experience. Yeah.
that's what it's all about.
That's crazy.
That is crazy,
that's
man.
That's crazy.
Seeing him in F.A. right there, man. Jordan Mailata. Do you guys ever have conversations, F.A., just like on the side about?
Of course.
What's said about this journey you and him have been through? Like, this is amazing.
Oh, it's amazing. And like, and honestly, the fact that to what OC is saying, you know, just having a thought, having a vision of creating an opportunity, you know, creating different avenues for people outside of you know, the conventional route to have access to that, to this game that we love and the ability for it to change people's lives. It's amazing. You know, the IPP program has definitely changed mine and Jordan's lives. And obviously we're doing more stuff with NFL Africa and just creating more opportunities that way. But talent is worldwide, but opportunity isn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what this is. That's what it's all about. I'm always going to be grateful to the IPP. I'm always going to be grateful to you guys for the love and support that you guys have shown us. And when we're out there, when we're competing, we see that. You know, we know that we represent and we come from a different journey. So the way we approach the game is different.
Yeah.
You know, the effort we give is different. Yeah. And to be able to be here on Radio Row to see him, it's like a sense of we have our own community, we have our own experience.
You can see that,
yeah. You know,
the joy is
different.
As soon as he came over here, it's just like that shared experience that all three of you have, right? Right. It's so unique, and then everybody coming through this program gets to look at you all and the success. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on the way you've had to perform, the way he's had to perform, because that opens up the eyes and gives a lot of other people opportunities.
It's still like a little bizarre. Because I remember the first time I had this conversation with the higher-ups. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, listen, we can get these great athletes and we can convert them into, you know, NFL players. Never happened. Get out of here. True story. Me and Adam had the conversation at the very top. We were like, it's not possible. Get out of here. Like, oh, okay. Well, I think it is. And then you go, you start talking, you start having conversations. Adam is like, well, listen, is this guy, I've actually done it before. You know, I've done it before. Like, well, if you've done it before, then we can do it again. We just have to do it on a bigger scale so everybody can see. They need to be able to see. Go out, we start having these conversations, start looking for athletes, you find them, and then boom, next thing you know, they're in. And then now it's, hey. Realistically, what we're doing is crazy.
Yeah.
Have you thought about what you've done? You know, Jordan?
Yeah.
People who were just in Nigeria a year ago.
Right.
On the same field.
Right.
And then you see other people who've, since they were five, they've been playing this game.
Right.
But those people didn't have the opportunity. You didn't have the opportunity. Jordan didn't have the chance. Well, yeah, okay, here's the chance. And you took it. And this is on a completely different level, man. Something's going to happen on Sunday that is going to blow this thing wide open. It's just crazy to see how far everything has come.
It comes full circle when we sit here. And that's what's so important. This is why I love this. This is why I love this, bro.
Yeah.
Because I understand what this represents. Yeah. I understand the sacrifice that you all have made. Mm. You know, a lot of people don't talk about that. A lot of people try to take credit for other things.
Yeah.
But it's a sacrifice you've made on the field that has allowed this all to occur and to happen. And you should be applauded because of it.
And ask you something,
yes.
J. Bell. This is something that you don't talk about. Jason was there in the beginning when I was like, hey.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. Yeah. Keep going. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. How does it feel for you to see something that was just discussed as just an idea?
Yeah.
For you to see over the years what this has become.
Yeah, it's very emotional. I can't really talk about it without feeling emotion.
Yeah.
I can't see things that you have done that have been so very successful. Mm. Like, I need to do it in my own personal time.
Yeah.
Because it is the struggle. It's like people see how you've grinded. They watch you. They're seeing you in the game. But it's all the emotions of how you got there that have impact them and affect them. And that's what I see in all this. Because I remember when you called me on the phone and said, this is the idea.
Mm.
And you had it all thought out. And I said, oh, this is epic.
Yeah.
But the work behind
it,
the grind, right? All the selfless decisions you've made that have accumulated to this situation, to where we are now. And we get to celebrate it. And I just look back and I always tell you, man, it's not what you do. It's what you do for people.
Mm.
And there's so many people that are going to look up and say, I'm at this point because did something, you know, like they did it. And when we die, when we leave this earth, people celebrate your life because of what you did to them, not because what you did for yourself. And you're changing lives. And that's what's so strong. That's what's so important. That's why you two should be celebrated, because that's exactly what you're doing and will continue to do. You've had to do it on the field, because if you don't go out there and do it, they can't go out there and fight for
you.
They can't go out there and say, no, this works. The product has to work for it to be sold.
For me, from my experience, from my lens, it's the other way around. I can't do what I do, or I can't put my all into this if that opportunity was never presented.
That's what's special, you know, that like that.
I owe that thought. I owe that idea. I owe that preparation. I owe that effort. I owe those, you know, those conversations. I owe you not listening to the initial no's and continue to, you know, to believe in that product.
Yeah.
And then because of that, I'm able to go, well, they've opened this door and they've gone through all of this. I need to give it everything. I need to go out there and I need to commit. I need to be successful.
Yeah.
And that's how I look at it.
I want to pivot off this before I get emotional. Come here.
My workout.
Tequila Spikes. I just text you. Did you get my message?
No, I didn't get the message.
I said, where are you at on radio? Look at your phone. I said, are you on Radio Row? Look at your phone.
Yeah, hold this mic.
Held this mic.
Because he's my workout.
Yeah, he is.
We haven't worked out, so I don't know if he's even, are you really here or is
it? Yeah, this is Tequila Spikes, the man himself. Yep. There's the message. Text him. Looking for him. How you doing, brother? Have you met F.A. Obada?
My workout buddy.
Listen, much respect, man. Much respect.
Thank you. Be careful. Do you know why I call him my workout buddy?
Why is that?
Because you're telling the truth.
Yeah, I'm going to tell him the truth. In Atlanta. We used to work out together in Atlanta, like hard. Grind. after the workout, I'll never hear from him again. I'll be messaging him, nothing.
You stop.
Nothing. No response. And then we get to the workout field. Hey, OC, let's go. Let's grind. Let's go to work.
He was giving me LA talk. Oh, let's go out for lunch. Let's have dinner. Until you see each other at the next event, that's when he shows up.
Why I got to be LA talk?
My workout friend. True. This is my guy. Hey, we were in the mud.
Tequila Spikes. That man's had a lot of tackles.
Yeah, a lot of tackles.
He has a lot of tackles.
We trained together in Atlanta, and people don't truly understand the amount of work that it takes to be out there. Like, when I think about it, I'm like, I can't believe.
You're prepared like that.
I can't believe we work like that.
No, it's amazing what you have to do to get ready for the season. I mean, FA's doing it right now, right? Just rehab, then going to get ready. Get your body built up, man. It's a lot of sacrifice.
Out in that 100-degree sun, sand pit.
It builds you.
Stadium.
Builds,
down.
Builds your body, max. And it builds character.
Oh, my God.
I have a question.
Incredible.
I want to seem smart on the broadcast.
Okay.
Okay? So I need to talk to two people that understand the art of attacking an offense on the defensive line better than anybody.
Yeah.
Okay? When you look at these teams.
Yeah.
The front four has got to show up.
They're not going to be able to.
Both.
Yeah.
Tell me why.
When I look at Kansas City, everybody's talking about how the receivers have stopped dropping balls and all this type of stuff. But if you look at the way they operate their offense over these past couple of weeks, everything is quick.
Oh, yeah.
Quick. Mm. Quick pass. Quick.
Boom, straight boom, boom, up. Boom, boom, boom. Getting
the ball out of his hands. He's not holding the ball.
Absolutely.
Not doing anything. Screens, this.
Yeah.
High percentage throws. When you're operating like that,
doesn't matter.
It does. Like, you're not going to be able to get a ton of pressure on the quarterback. And then if you look on the other side, if you look at San Francisco, the way what they do, their running game, everything is they're never in a position, whereas they're just going to sit back there and allow you to rush the quarterback.
Right.
Like the 49ers are never in that position.
Okay.
Right? And so I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs interior, Chris Jones, monster. Right. But I don't think they have the guys who are going to be able to disrupt what the San Francisco 49ers do. I just don't think they do. So I don't think this is going to be a game for the defensive line. I think this is going to be a game for the DBs. That's what I think. And I'm interested in seeing what those DBs do, which is your wheelhouse.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think you are right. When it comes down to this game, it's going to be about stealing possessions. Mm. It's going to be a tight game. And it's all about these DBs. It's all about coming up big, getting an interception, causing a fumble. And when I look at that, the advantage is KC.
Yeah, they got better DBs.
They got the better DBs. They've been playing together for a long time. Mm-hmm. You look at what Spagnuolo does each and every week. He has those guys prepared, and it would come down to that, I believe. But I still believe in the front four, bro.
The front fours.
I somewhat agree with what you're saying, but I can see your thought process in that. But it starts up front, right? It always starts up front. If it's a close game. Oh. I've sacked this guy. That's another quarterback that I've sacked.
Oh, is it? You took him down?
Yeah, I took him down before he retired.
But whose hand did he shake?
Oh, yeah. Ooh. That's why I got the haircut.
So I'll tell you what. I took a trip with Drew and the commissioner. We went to Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yes.
So that's how I know Drew. And he's a genuine one of the best people I've ever met in my life.
People say that.
Just a good, solid, all-around individual person. And I enjoyed him.
You know what's interesting about that? And it's great that you sacked him, for real. You know, all jokes aside, man. It's amazing, man. You know, that says a lot. When you look at Brock Purdy, all the comparisons are Drew Brees. Do you see that?
I do. Honestly, playing against Brock Purdy, very, very similar, very poised, under control. Like, even when he makes a mistake and he goes to the sideline and he's getting coached, he's just so cool. And it's funny that we're in Vegas. I would not want to play poker with him because he's so poised. And he just comes out. And I remember playing him, and he just has this ability to just distribute the ball evenly between everybody. It's not selfishly this one person that he's constantly targeting. I think there's a lot of parallels with Drew Brees as well. His ability to kind of not just fixate on one read. He just distributes the ball, gets it out, and I think that's where the comparisons are.
So I heard another this whole Cam Newton talk about
what is he saying?
talking about how Brock Purdy's a game manager. Mm-hmm. So game manager.
This is what
Cam's saying
yeah. about him.
He's a game manager, not a game changer, right? There's game managers and then there's game changers. And he listed his game changers and he listed Purdy as a game manager. And he said that Purdy is the 10th best player on the San Francisco 49ers team, 10th best. And he listed a whole bunch of, he listed all the players, right? And I got to thinking, is Purdy the 10th best player on the San Francisco 49ers team?
I mean, like anything, we talk about statistics and ratings. Mm-hmm. We could find a way to make that make sense if we wanted to.
Are there 10 players on the 49ers that are playing their position
yeah.
better than Brock Purdy's playing quarterback?
No.
There may be two players
yeah.
on that team.
No chance.
Yeah. There may be two players on that team. Right. McCaffrey, yeah. Trent Williams. Those are the only two players to me that are playing their position better than Brock Purdy
Got it.
Is playing the quarterback position.
Because he, CMC, is the best running back in the league.
Right.
And Trent Williams is the best left tackle, probably.
They're playing their positions
yeah.
better than, I say, Brock Purdy. But
why?
Nobody else is playing their position better than Brock Purdy's
Why do people make these statements? Why does Cam come out and say that? What's the reason? Why is that beneficial?
Matt.
Oh, see? How are we doing?
I do.
Everything good?
Good,
international superstar.
See him all over. Man, what's up, Matt? You good? Love Matt, bro. I'll talk to you later, man. All right.
I've also sacked him.
Yeah. You know what? Give the answer, the rebuttal to what you said.
Even though he came in and hit you, I've also sacked him.
I just want to say this. I don't know what's happened. Yeah. We got to give FA a pass. Yeah. But he's very salty. And this isn't a salty platform.
No, it's not a salty platform.
You're very salty.
I'm not
just
salty.
Tell us why
I'm
you're
just
salty.
Saying. I'm just saying.
Tell us why you're salty and get
I'm
it off your
salty.
Chest.
I'm not salty. Just give me time.
You're gonna be a legend yourself.
Give me time. I'm creating my legacy, and I'm a legend right now.
I mean, our man gets guys. Love, and we can't celebrate it. You want to throw salt on a good meal? Tell us why. The platform's yours. I've seen it. It's repetitive.
Sometimes you need salt for the electrolytes. You know?
Sometimes you gotta have it. But ultimately, going back to Purdy.
Right.
Do you understand what it is that I said or?
I totally understand.
Game manager,
no, like, I pose this question.
That was the question you were asking.
Yeah, right? The question I pose is this to both of you. Why do people feel like they got to come out and say these things about him all the time? Like, why would you, this man is at the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
a game away from winning it.
Mm-hmm.
You just broke down his demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
You gave him, it's kind of rare, you didn't throw no salt on him.
No.
No, what you said was good.
Right.
A great point, mm-hmm. right? You broke it down. You played against him. Why are people coming out against this man and they got something to say? Nobody wants to see him be successful.
Yeah. I think it goes to where he was drafted. I've experienced it. You know, I've been on these teams where GMs have drafted these guys and they've chosen these guys, and organizations and teams have rallied around these guys, and they just don't pan out. Whether it be injury, whether they're not ready for that thing. And Brock Purdy is someone that nobody expected. And it comes with that name, Mr. Irrelevant. You know, and subconsciously that steeps into your opinion of him.
Yeah.
But he's competing at such a high level that what it takes to be a quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, and we get it. He's got a great offense. He's got these amazing guys that he can lean on and rely on. But he's carried himself amazingly. You know, we've seen it in Detroit where he's put it on his back and he's extended plays with his feet and he's just made mistakes and just gone out there and he just rallied the team.
Almost lost in that game, didn't he?
Exactly. And he's come back so many times.
He does.
You know, and what more can you ask of him?
And then I just wouldn't be salty like some people are.
Also, he's my guy and I can be salty with him. But at the end of the day, everyone that's compared him to this guy and said he's not doing this guy and he's not doing this, they're at home right now watching him play in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
There you go.
That's the best point.
That's
the best point.
That's why they're attacking him.
Exactly.
The game changers, 90% of the people he named as game changers choked.
Ooh, really?
Oh, Lamar.
Mm.
Oh, Josh Allen. Oh, who else did he say? He put himself in that category.
Did he put Dak?
What's up, bro?
You coming to get involved?
He said Dak was a game.
Come on.
Game manager.
Oh, yeah.
Come on in, man.
Look at this guy.
I feel like we've been talking for a long time.
We have. We've been waiting for Jermaine to get in here right now, and now we're good. What's up, man? How you doing?
Oh, I'm good. How y'all doing?
Last time we saw you was in the UK, man.
Yeah.
flew by.
I know. Tell us
about my face. And like,
tell us about your season, though, man. I mean, you're our boy.
With the rain,
our
you know,
boy.
You kind of favor AP a little bit, man. How was that been playing for AP? What was the transition like in the locker room?
I mean, he was with him in New York. You know, yeah. Just the type of leader he is. And, you know, I feel like he's so intense that it rubs off on you. And having him as a coach, it was just a blessing in disguise for all of us. You know, for a guy like Max, for a guy like me specifically. Mm. I was having an okay season, but I needed kind of like that extra push to get out of my own way. And AP coming in just kind of kicked me in the butt. Like, hey, get going. You know what type of player you are. You know you can be one of the best. Get going. And he just led me in the right direction. And, you know, the rest was history. And I think that if we would have had him the whole season, I'm sure we'd be in a different position right now. But the intensity he brings, the swagger he brings, and he just gave us everything we needed to get on that field and, like I said, go beat the Chiefs. Be in a game with the Miami Dolphins, a game we should have won. The game against the Colts, it didn't go our way, but we should have won that too. But you have a shot against whatever team's on the opposite side, having AP with you. You know, AP's going to give you an opportunity to win that game. Just because the type of guy he is and the intensity he brings and the swag he brings, and it just rubs off on everyone. And everyone wants to be like AP.
For the people listening, that's Jermaine Illumino. Yep. People, you know, they just heard a different voice. They're like, what's going on? That's,
and we're talking about Antonio Pierce, his head coach.
Britain zone, English zone, but, you know, Nigeria also.
Yeah, I
don't know. England zone.
33% me.
Man, 33%. Listen, every time.
I'm like 50, so I'll be sure.
You got me.
Proper Niger. Niger.
I mean, for being honest, it's kind of like 60-40 because my dad's there. You know, I know a little Nigerian, so, you know, I grew up with the Panda Jam and the rice and stew.
Okay. You know, proper.
All my okra that I was eating when I was a little kid.
Yeah. Man, I'm getting kicked out the crew, man. So, I'm holding on with your life.
So right here, you have Jermaine, you have F.A., you have O.C., and we were all, you know, we all were claiming England, but we're Nigerian.
I mean, that's really what it is. You know? That's really what
it's really
is.
What's going on. Really Nigerian, but
that's it. We grew up in England.
We grew up in England.
Right.
Yeah.
All successful. It's amazing, man. You said something about AP, man, and we've talked a lot about him. We all know who he is as a leader, but you talked about a pivotal moment in the career, in your season, where you stepped it up, you said, and he kind of kicked you in the butt. Like, break that down. Like, what does he bring? How does he motivate you to go out there as a team, to go out there and play better?
I think it's just like the realness he brings. Like, you know what AP's saying. He's going to say that in front of you and behind you. It's not one of those things where it's like he's going to milk you up in front of you, but then once he gets behind you, he's going to talk a bunch of bad things about you and, you know, kind of tear you down without you knowing that he's tearing you down.
Yeah.
Like, what you get is what you get with AP. And, you know, like I said, if you buy in and you give him everything you have, he's going to give you everything he has. And that's what you need as a coach. Like, the Lions this year, they did so well because of Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
And if we're being honest, like, Dan Campbell was, like, the soul and core of that team. And he was able to rub off on all those players. And that's why a lot of them were able to play the way they did and get to the NFC Championship just because his intensity that he brings and buying in. And F.A. will tell you, you know, you have to be able to buy into what the coach is preaching in order to get the most out of a player. And were we bought in this year? Yeah, we were. But it wasn't enough to get us over the hump. And I'm saying pre-AP.
Yeah.
But when we had AP, like I said, we were in every game. We didn't get blown out at all. We lost, I think, the most by 7 to the Dolphins. But, you know, games like the Bears game, like the Pittsburgh Steelers game at the beginning of the year, like, if you watch those games and then go watch the Miami game, go watch the first Chiefs game, go watch the second Chiefs game, you know, on the road in Kansas City, that's a hard place to play.
That's tough. You've
been there.
That's tough.
I'm sure you've been there too. That's a hard place to play on Christmas where it's like 20 degrees and you can't even feel your fingers. You know, that's hard to play. And you need a guy like AP to say, hey, look, screw it. You know, everyone's counting us out. UCI people predict scores. No one gave us a chance. Like, I think the closest score was like 27-7 or something like that. Like, no one gave us a shot at all. And AP's the perfect person to be like, hey, look, they don't want us, but we want us. We know what we're about. They don't know what we're about, but they're about to find out what we're about. And, you know, sure enough, the league knew, found out what we're about. And, you know, we finished 12-4, but we could have easily been 7-3.
Yeah.
6-3, 7-2. 8-1, 9-0, like, it was right there. Like, we were in every single game with AP. And I think that giving AP a whole offseason to bring his guys in and to really mold and shape that program is going to be tremendous.
I wish I could have experienced that. Like, I wish I could have experienced playing for, because I know
you played with him though.
And that's the thing. AP was a leader on a football team with Pro Bowl
players.
Mm-hmm. You understand what I mean?
100%.
And he was the guy. Like the things he would do. AP is crazy.
Yeah.
We would like, you know, training camp at like 8 o'clock when it was like really late, somebody just pulled the fire alarm so everybody has to leave. It was him. Like he knew, he pulled the fire alarm, yeah. Everybody.
Ain't much changed then, ain't much changed.
That's him. Yeah. AP would be out there on the football field, and I tell this story all the time. The call will come in and he'd be like, no, we're not running that. And he'd give us a different call and we would listen to him
and it
on
worked.
The field. We had a chant, like somebody was saying something. We're like, you know what we're gonna do? It's gonna be a revolution now. Uh-huh. So our breakdown was revolution off with his head. This is how he was breaking down. He was talking to the coach and he was saying it loud. He's like, revolution off with it. AP is crazy. And to see him as a coach, it was like a no brainer to me.
Yeah.
Because you knew he's a proper leader.
He's so right, man. When I ask questions, I'm thinking like, how does that feel?
Yeah.
Because you're right. The way he motivated us as individuals, as players, we listened to him. Mm-hmm. I was telling him the other day, I was like, bro, we played for you.
Yeah. It's crazy.
We did.
You're a linebacker.
Like, changed, though. We play for him now. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think that we were in every single game this year and we won a bunch of games this year because we really wanted AP as a coach.
You wanted it for him.
You felt it, man.
The way he like was able to grab the attention of the entire fan base, like a fan base that's just been starving for some success, and to really grab the attention, but hey, look, this is what it's going to be. You're either going to like it or you're not, but most likely you're going to like it because we don't give a damn what everyone thinks about us. We're going to go out there and just play our way, hit them in the mouth, run the ball on them, throw it deep, and we're going to have fun doing it, and it's going to look good doing it too.
Yeah,
you know, AP's thing is look good, play good, mm-hmm. play good, win, and then you go from there.
I think you guys started something, man. I think you're at the forefront of something. Players now have seen exactly what they did.
Mm.
And fan bases also, they're like, hey, we saw what the Raiders did. They got their guy if we behave like this. I think, I'm telling you, you're going to see other people do this and you're going to be like, that was us. We showed the rest of the league how to get our guy. Because most teams, I've never seen that happen before.
You got the Detroit Lions with that kind of guy.
Yeah. But they didn't choose him.
You got the Texans with that kind of guy. Mm-hmm. You got the Raiders with that kind of guy. There's like a real movement for that particular year.
Yeah.
It works.
You can have all the talent in the world. You can be the best X's and O's guy. But it's like, I'm sure you've heard it before. AP said, X and O's don't matter. It's Jimmy's and Joe's.
Mm.
Right? It's Jimmy's and Joe's. It's the player and how you care about that player and how you lead that player. And you can have the least talented squad in the NFL. Like, I'm sure the Chiefs had more talent than us going into that game on Christmas. But who won the game? Yeah. And why did we win the game? Because the defense rallied around AP, believed in what he was preaching, and the offense just went out there. And, you know, we could have played better, but we made sure that when it came time to ice the game, what happened? We iced the game. We won the game for AP. Like, when's the last time we beat the Chiefs at the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Or when's the last time, like, both games were in the game and we should have beat them the first game and we beat them the second time? Like, we've been in the game because of AP. Like, I wish you could have been in that locker room after the game, like smoking cigars.
Yeah,
like, that, like, unbelievable. I literally just sat there. Like, you know how it is. It's hard to win games in this league. And it's so hard to win.
It's a battle.
And it's even harder to get to the playoffs and even harder to get to the Super Bowl. But with AP, we had that confidence that we were going to make it. And once we made it, we were going to make some noise. And, you know, we didn't make it this year. But if we would have made it, I promise you we would have made some noise. And who knows where it would have got to. But with AP, it's hard enough to think, damn, why can't we play the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Why can't we win the division? Why can't we go?
Like, you believe it.
Yeah. Now you believe it. And everything that comes out of his mouth, you believe. Like, in the meeting room, for instance, you was with Tom Coughlin. I'm sure all eyes were on him. Whatever he said, you did. With AP, he has the trainers in there. He has the scouts in there. He has everyone in the building in that meeting room.
Wow.
And everyone is looking at him, focused on him. Whatever he says, you do. And was it like that before?
You guys are like one, basically.
Exactly.
That's cool.
It's one heartbeat, and we follow AP. And, you know, that was the best thing for us this year. And, you know, I said, too, I had my best year of my career because of him. And I'm sure a lot of guys can say that, too. Like, he changed a lot of, he changed a lot of careers and a lot of lives by doing what he did.
So is it contract time for you or what's...
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
It is. I don't know.
That's why you're smiling.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Is that why the big grin is there?
That's why he's smiling.
I don't know.
About to get that chalupa, J-Bell.
I just had a daughter. So
offensive lineman,
gonna...
bro. Those old linemen, hey, boy. Man, they get paid nowadays.
You are hard to come by.
Oh, my goodness.
There's not a lot of you.
But I know that, you know, and, you know, that's why I was excited to get a guy like AP because, like I said, the beginning of the season, it was okay, but I had a bad game against Khalil Mack, and, you know, I kind of wasn't in the right place I needed to be mentally in order to continue playing the game at a high level, and y'all know how it is.
Yep.
And especially you. You go against a tackle who's not right there. You know, too. Mm. Like, you were quiet over there. You need to start speaking, FM.
I'm just in awe, you know, honestly. Like, yeah. I want to know AP.
You love playing for him.
Come on. You know, you were free agent, too, right?
Yep.
Yeah, come on. I mean...
Look at that, recruiting for them. Yeah, this means a lot.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, previous employers, not a lot of people probably wanted to play for them.
Mm.
But with AP and what he's doing here and how he's bringing the Raider brand back and the swag back and the it's the Raiders versus the NFL, I promise you, those big name free agents,
they're gonna go
who weren't listening to the Raiders before are gonna listen to the Raiders now.
That's true.
Because of AP, and like you see the stuff he's bringing in. You know, you have guys like me, guys like Max Crosby, guys like Spillane, Epps, Devontae Adams, Jacoby Myers, Josh Jacobs.
Like, good players.
Guys like that vouching for you. I promise you, you can get the guys like the Chris Jones of the world and the Justin Madubuke's and like the guys who are really difference makers to come to this team and really turn this team around because that's what we're missing. Like, we have so many great players on this team, but to have one like a guy like Max, like imagine Max and Chris Jones.
Ooh. Crazy. You know who I like on your team? Kuntz.
Yeah.
Kuntz is a...
That boy there, boy.
Dirty.
He's a dog.
The thing is, though, what happened when AP came on?
That's when they started playing him, right? Off.
Yeah. That's when they stopped playing with him.
Mm.
They were playing with him instead of playing for him.
Yeah.
And, like, we can get into, like, the real, like, you know, godly stuff right now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sound like the pastors, but AP is for you. He's not against you.
Yeah.
And AP is going to push you as much as you need to be pushed and give you the confidence that you need to go out there and just be yourself.
Because
you know how it is. If you're yourself and you have that confidence in here and you don't have nothing holding you back, you go out there and you flourish.
Yeah.
And that was cool.
Yeah. I got a question because I like to sound smart about the game coming up. I've already stole stuff from them. But you know about these offensive lines.
Oh, yeah.
You know about them. Give us your insight. Who has the advantage and why?
I would say that I think me personally – It's tough because both O-lines have great players on.
Yep.
Like the 49ers have Trent Williams.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs have Creed Humphrey. They have Trey Smith.
Those two dudes on the inside are nice.
Donovan Smith has been there before.
Yep.
Juwan Taylor, is, you know, he's a good player in his own right. I think the key is if Tooney plays, the Chiefs have the advantage because that trio is probably the best in the NFL.
I don't think he's going to play, though, is he?
I don't know.
Yeah. Tooney's not playing.
He's not playing.
He has a very slim chance of playing.
Yeah.
That's what Andy Reid said.
I mean, I played with Tooney, though, and if Tooney can play, he's going to play.
He's going to go?
Tooney is – when I was in the winger with him, you know how it is. Like, we all know how it is. You play with injuries.
Yeah.
And the Super Bowl is the game where you're like, hey.
And you know how important you are?
Yeah. Tooney is the key to it all because playing offensive line, it's not a glamorous position. And, you know, people sometimes aren't going to know your name.
Yeah.
People know who Tooney is in Kansas City, but they may not know who he is in Vegas, or they may not know who he is in Washington or New York, but people know who Tooney is in Kansas City, and they know how big he is for that old line.
Yeah.
So I think if Tooney plays, then it's the Kansas City Chiefs. I think it's if he doesn't play, then I think the 49ers just because of that scheme. That scheme is offensive line friendly.
Yeah.
It kind of brings the best out of you.
Yep.
And they've also been playing together for a while now, you know, so.
How is it blocking for a guy like Patrick Mahomes where you don't necessarily know where he's going to be when he drops back, right? He doesn't necessarily go to a spot.
Yeah.
What goes on in your mind?
Block forever. Even if
Plastic, just keep blocking.
Just block. Just block. Because, you know that you have him behind you.
Uh-huh.
You know that he's going to make a play. Mm. And, you know, he may try to extend it with his legs. And there may come a time where, you know, you have to let the guy go.
Mm.
But just know that he's gonna make a play. And if there's nothing, he's going to make it something.
Mm.
And so as offensive lineman, I feel like you love that because, you know, they're going against Nick Bosa, Hargrave, Eric Armstead, Chase Young.
Mm.
That's on paper, that's a crazy D-line.
Yeah.
But having 15 back there, I mean, I've never played with him. But obviously I played against him. And seeing some of the stuff that he's done, you just stand there like, oh, come on, bro. Crazy. Like, come on, like, how is that even possible?
Do you get exhausted that these guys are rotating in and out, but you got to play all the snaps? That's They're just bringing D linemen in. You know what I'm saying? Like, that happens all the time.
It's actually it's actually pretty unfair, if I'm being honest
with you. All right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have.
OC didn't come out, though. He didn't.
Nah, not till like later in my career.
Yeah, then I came out.
I mean, I'm the only guy that I've played against that doesn't come out is Max.
Max, full
That's
time.
Max is a little psycho.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he's like that good psycho that you need who's he's going to go crazy 24-7. But, you know, it sucks when you're on a fight. Like, let's say you're going on a 13-play drive and, you know, play six. Like, for instance, playing the Steelers. I'm going against the backup. I'm tired as hell. It's like play eight. Then I see TJ Watt rolling in.
You're like, oh,
he sprints in. He's like this jumping up and down. I'm like,
and it's a dirty game.
Then we call empty protection.
You by yourself.
Incredible.
Turn around like, hey, I got this, but
you better be quick.
Come on. Come on. It's tough, but you know, I feel like you got to have that term, like certain mentality as offensive lineman. Like, hey, look, they're going to be fresh. You're not going to be fresh. But at the end of the day, I'm good too.
Hey, excellent. You know what? We all got to be fresh. We got to be quick because they're telling me we got to wrap this thing up. But we appreciate, man, all the info, man. You know what I'm saying? So much love internationally here. I'm the odd man out, but you know what? Y'all have included me. I feel like.
Of course.
I'm a part of the crew, man. I feel like I'm here. So, man, I'm 33% Nigerian, man.
Shout out.
How about your boy, man?
The FA, OC, Jason, and Jermaine podcast. Jermaine.
Boom. And Jermaine brought to you podcast. By Lazy Boy. Till next time, enjoy the Super Bowl. It's going to be a great time.